Good morning. This is exciting. I bring you greetings from West Baltimore. The people of Trinity Presbyterian Church, your sister church, says good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we share the peace of the Lord with each and every one of you, giving first glory and honor to God, who is truly the creator, father and mother, the sustainer, the keeper of us all. His son, Jesus Christ, who was my Lord, your Lord and Savior. To the Holy Spirit that is up to something in this season. To my lovely wife, Linda, who has always been right alongside of me. I heard something funny that sort of reminded me of this real truth that behind every good man, there's a woman next to him going, I'm so glad that she's by my side, and together we come in peace, and we thank you for having us. It was just after the unrest in Baltimore. Presbytery had come to Trinity, to West Baltimore, to pray for the city. Folks came from all of the surrounding sister Presbyterian churches, and we held hands in the field. And we prayed for peace. We prayed for understanding. We prayed that we would just stop praying, but we would also do something in order to make a change. And after that service, Scott Hoffman, who was standing next to me, we were holding hands and praying. We said, man, we need to get together and eat. Why are you laughing? I said amen before he could get eat out. And there's nothing like two brothers getting together over sausage with scrambled eggs and cheese. We'll save the world if you give us a plate and some time to think about how to do it. And as we were talking and we're eating and we're enjoying that double T pork sausage, and then one of us said to the other, you know, I got a novel idea. How about you come over to my church and preach, and I will come over to you. Are you going to eat that that English muffin there? You going to eat that? I'll come over to your church and eat, and I mean preach. And we got to thinking about how necessary it is for churches to take the lead, because, and the timing of this is picture perfect. A nation divided, tension, anxiety. You're hearing names being called back and forth, and there's this violence and this air of potential violence, and we see it not just in the city of Baltimore, but in the surrounding areas. And folks feel a sense of angst, uptight, nationwide. And we ask ourselves, how do we as a nation fix this? The answer is in the church. But we in the church are very well split. We start to divide into our own little camps, and we find ourselves coming after each other, even in the church. People are looking to point at one another, and the fears that we have working inside start to ooze out. And folks start breaking into camps, and we start pointing fingers at this person here who looks this way, or that person over there who comes from this neighborhood or this country. These folks over here live a certain lifestyle. I had somebody come to me not too long ago and say, "Hey, Rev, you one of the Presbyterians, aren't you?" "Well, why, yes. In fact, I am." "Well, what are you all going to do about those homosexuals in the pulpit?" I said, "I don't know. I've been thinking first about what I'm going to do about those heterosexuals in the pulpit." Because when you start to think about it, all of us have issues that we need to work on, regardless of what background or where we come from. But God has called us to love. God has called us to peace. This is what the second Advent candle is for today. And God has called us to articulate these important elements with one clear voice. He's called us to love each other. So Scott and I said, you know, we're going to do an experiment, and we're going to actually see if we can bring an African-American congregation from the inner city and a multicultural European majority church from the suburbia and see if we can actually come out of our comfort zones and spend some time looking and sharing and walking with one another. Now, that takes a little bit of risk. It was Albert Einstein who said, "Every ship is safe on the shore." Problem is, that's not what it was designed for. And each and every one of us was not designed to be separated from each other, but we were designed to come together. Even in the Garden of Eden, God said, "It is not good that man be alone." There has to be not only an additional entity, but there has to be a working together with one another, helping one another in peace. Paul had it right in his letter in Romans. You heard the word read. He said, "May the God of steadfast and encouragement," even before that, he says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness," that means you got to be motivated and committed, "and by the encouragement," that means that's a state of mind. I'm in a mind of positive encouragement, "and of the scriptures." So I have to have steadfast, I have to have the motivation, the right mind, based on the scriptures and the word of God. And then he says, "May the God of steadfast and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Jesus Christ." You know, that's one of the challenges we have in the church. We have all of the elements, but sometimes all three of them are not singing in concert with one another, as this beautiful choir just did a few minutes ago. We might have the motivation and the steadfastness, but lacking in scripture, or lacking in doing it according to the word of God. Or we may have the word of God, but our state of mind is not right. You have some folks that love the Bible and they love, they're motivated, but something not right upstairs. Might have it right here within this congregation. A few folks that are motivated, but something's just not clicking upstairs. And as a result, we come at each other wrong. Folks that have a great spiritual attitude, but they just are not motivated. And as a result, our voice amongst one another gets misconstrued, and we're walking out of cadence with each other. I'm here to share with you from the west side of Baltimore, and we share and suffer with the same issues. And one thing that is important and key, in order for us to be able to walk in peace with one another, we have to be willing to share a piece of one another. I'm here this morning to share a piece of West Baltimore, to let you all know that we are looking over here wondering about you all, just like you are over there wondering about us over there. And we are excited about the opportunity to come over here just to listen, to eat. You know, we Presbyterians love to eat. To come over and to experiment, to take a risk, to expose some of our flaws. We've actually started doing this. We loved having you all over at the church back in the summertime. It was absolutely fantastic. And some of you have even come over and have participated in our food pantries, and we loved it. They put up a new door for us because the door was old and it was rickety. And so they put up a new door. And while we were putting up this door, there was this old space above the door. And in order to get the frame right, we had to go into that space. And we found things in that space that we didn't know was up there. I think there was a couple of preachers back there that they preached bad and they just stuffed them back in that space. But it was such a revealing time for us to be able to come together, strangers. If there's going to be any hope for our nation, I believe that the church is going to have to take the lead. We have the business card that says Shalom on it. We are the children led by the Good Shepherd, who has a voice predicated on the fact that he is the Prince of Peace. And if we follow any other shepherd as sheep, we are doomed. We must be in tune with that one shepherd who speaks the voice of love. I say as I prepare to conclude, we have an incredible challenge as Presbyterians and as a church. We have an incredible challenge trying to take the lead. It's easy. This church is still the most segregated place on Sunday morning. We go off into our own comfort zones. In fact, it's a safe haven from all of those people out there. But the reality is those people out there to whom God has called us to engage and to interact. I hope that as we continue on in this partnership, in this experiment, that we continue to have fun. I told Scott, outside of eating, we have to think of something else to do together. And we have to get our people also engaged. I hope you will be a participant in this experiment with Trinity. I want to have church cookouts together to see how well you all play softball. I want us to be able to go on trips together. And I pray that we as a church would be able to set an example for the entire community. Because right now, our nation is at such anxiety. Anxiety levels are so high. And the church has to set the example. So that's just a small part of the reason why I came by today, to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you. He loves me. He knows about our differences. Guess what? He made them that way. And those differences are what bring us together harmoniously. If we're willing to get our heads together, our hearts together, and focus not on humankind, but keep our eyes focused on the cross. If we do that, I think a little bit of shalom can show up not just within the walls of the church, but outside of the walls of the church, into the communities, into the state, and hopefully into our nation. It starts with you and I. It starts with feeling uncomfortable. Scott's over there saying, I got to preach in front of all those black people over there. And I said, I got to come over there and preach to white people. taking a risk and going out in the love of Christ and say, you know what? Yeah, I'll go share with my friends out there in Colombia. And guess what? Everything's going to be all right. I'm like the little kids. I'm looking over the pulpit saying, wow, look at all those people out there. I was feeling them. Well, guess what? We have more in common, more likenesses amongst one another than you might think. In fact, I'm convinced of it. So I say, again, in conclusion, I come to share peace from West Baltimore. Baltimore, West Baltimore wants to hear from you. And we look forward to continue to exchange amongst one another the love that Christ has planted in each and every one of us. It's more than just a kumbaya thing. It's intentional. Peace is intentional. It doesn't just happen. You have to step out and push that button and be willing in your mind, your heart, and your spirit to make it happen. And if we follow the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, over the course of time, it will happen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Would you please pray with me?
Precious and eternal God, I conclude by praying to you with my new friends, asking, Lord, that your spirit would continue to abide with us. This effort isn't about form or fashion. It's really about being intentional in trying to center ourselves in that which is your perfect will. It's not easy. Lord, I pray right now that you would bless this congregation. We pray for all of its members. We say a special prayer for Chip as he recovers, as he is ministered to by doctors and he's surrounded by family and friends, that you would bless him and heal him and his wife and his family. Lord, continue to bless all of those in this church who are saying, pray for me. We need a word, a continual word from you. We need to be attuned to one voice, a voice of peace, and that voice of hope, as indicated by the Advent candles. Keep us, bless us, sustain us, for we love you and we praise you from the bottom of our hearts. For it is in Jesus' precious name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.